So we have yet another type of equipment that we want to talk about. Oops. Okay, so we're using a between row mower for weed control at the University of Missouri. And so my question I asked myself is, why mow? Well, the answer is because we started working on organic no-till. And it was kind of funny, I applied for a grant proposal earlier this year, and when it came back, the review, the grant proposal was on mid and late season weed control and organic no-till. And it came back and the reviewer said, there's no weeds in organic no-till. And I told that to my growers in Missouri, and they all kind of rolled their eyes too. But we do, even if we can grow a pretty good cover crop, we do end up with a lot of weeds. In Missouri, we can grow water hemp in a nuclear war zone, so we can definitely grow water hemp in organic no-till. So the whole point of organic no-till is that we want to reduce tillage. So right now, you know, to save their crop, a lot of the guys in Missouri who are doing organic no-till are going in with a high-residue cultivator. And that works pretty well, but we wanted to completely eliminate tillage. So when we started organic no-till back in 2012, you know, we started using some push mowers and found that worked fairly well. So that, you know, not tilling then allows us to reduce erosion and conserve our soil structure, conserve organic matter, and like everybody else has said, it gives us a new tool in the toolbox. So this is a photo of a crimped cover crop in an organic no-till field. And so we originally, you know, were working on this method as a weed control in organic no-till, but we've also found that it can work well with other production methods. So this is a field day that we had this year at an organic grower who last year did, I think, 10 acres in organic no-till, and this year did 1,000 acres in organic no-till. And it's not all still out there, though. He had to rip a lot up. But this is one of the fields that he took us to on the tour. And, you know, when you're just looking at it, it looks pretty good, right? And then you start looking a little closer, and you see the water hemp between the lady's legs, and you know, you start looking, and there's a lot of weeds out there. And so come August, you're going to see mostly weeds and not soybeans. And there's a close-up picture where you can see, you know, quite a bit of water hemp coming up in various places. And this is happening in areas where we are hitting, you know, that 8,000 or 9,000 pounds per acre threshold that's listed in the literature as being the threshold that you need for decent weed control. Again, this is that same farmer, and so our biggest problems are water hemp and foxtail. So if it's a wet year, we'll have foxtail. And so you can see here, this is one of the fields where he did have to rip up because he didn't have good enough weed control. And so we've had several farmers that have been experimenting with organic no-till in 30-inch rows versus 15-inch rows, and basically what they've all decided is to stick with the 30-inch rows because it allows them to come in later and either save with a high-residue cultivator or something like between-row mowing. So this is a graduate student. This is some plots at Missouri, and you can see we have really haphazard results, I think, with organic no-till. So there on the right, you can see that we've got pretty good weed control, and there on the left, you know, the foxtail is going to run us out of town there. So between row mowing was actually started by a USDA researcher who was at the University of Missouri back in the mid-90s, and he was researching conventional no-till, and at that time they were really working to reduce herbicide use in no-till. And so what he did was he banded the row with herbicide, and then he did between row mowing in between rows. And this is a very busy slide, I know, but I just want you to see at the very top there, that's his yield, and he didn't find statistical differences where he used between row mowing versus where he broadcast the herbicide. And he found that it took 1 to 2 mowings to get rid of broadleaves, and grasses were a little bit more of a challenge. So he did that both in corn and soybeans and found comparable yields to broadcast herbicides. So this is our prototype between row mower. So it is 3-point hitch. This is a 4-row mower. This, it actually has two toolbars because we took it off a Haggy High Boy and did some, and, which is what Dr. Donald had done back in the 90s. And this has been sitting at our research center for 20 years unused. So we kind of rebuilt it and got it going again. And that's the student there that works on it. So we use a 24-inch blade, but with GPS we could get a lot closer. So we have, it's kind of interesting at our field day on mowing in organic no-till, about half of our growers, or of organic growers in Missouri, are Mennonites. And the Mennonites said, well, I'm going to use my GPS and I'm going to use a 28-inch blade. I'm like, okay, well, we don't have that. But so we use a 24-inch blade. So we, you know, this at that blade width, it does leave some weeds in the row, but the cover crop in the organic no-till does a fairly adequate job most times with the in-row weeds. So currently our prototype is run off the tractor hydraulics, and we've had some issues with that because as we changed tractors, when we first started, we were blowing hydraulic motors quite often when we get a power surge. So what we're doing in our next model is we're changing to a PTO-driven hydraulic motor so that it doesn't matter what tractor you use it on. We're also developing a six-row prototype because most of our organic growers are running a 12-row planter. And we're not totally sure about the cost because we're still in the middle of building our first prototype, but we think it's going to be about $750 per unit. So one of the things I think is important is that the mower design is open source. So if people wish to build their own, then we will provide them plans free of charge when we have plans to provide. And then businesses could produce it under a licensing agreement, and we may also pursue commercialization. But in Missouri, we have pretty significant interest in this, both with organic growers and with farmers facing herbicide-resistant weed problems. So just some photos. This is a graduate student study where some of his treatments were, he had cover crop to try to prevent early weeds, and then he also had some cover crop treatments where he wasn't going to mow. We had to eventually mow those because that didn't work at all. We got too many weeds. But this is a before picture. So as we're entering this plot, you can see the soybean is the dark green. There's quite a bit of foxtail and quite a bit of cocklebur. And so then we turn around and see the picture, and you can see that the cocklebur is pretty much gone. Now the grass, you're going to have to stay on when you have that high of foxtail, and it's basically like mowing your lawn. That grass is always going to be there, and it is going to compete against the soybeans a little bit. But we have found that definitely two passes will eliminate the broadleaves, and in a lot of cases, one pass eliminates the broadleaves. And here's one that's so thick with foxtail you can hardly see the soybeans. And then after you go through, there's the soybeans again. And so now if you can stay on top of that, you can actually get a decent crop out of that. So here we have data from 2015 and 2016, and actually this is from my graduate student Ricardo Costa Silva's work, and he's going to be talking about this at the organic oral presentations tomorrow morning. But so what we've been doing there is comparing cultivated to mowed, and in corn and soybeans, and in 2015, actually there was no statistical difference in yields in any of those years. So mowed and cultivated, and I should say that the mowed did have, it was organic no-till, so it did have a cover crop, and the cultivated did not have a cover crop. So the yield was competitive then with those two weed control methods. So as I said, that first mowing pretty much eliminates your broadleaves, and subsequent mowings are needed to give continuous grass control. But that crimped cover crop coupled with crop shading provides pretty good in-row control. This is on a farmer's field. This is actually, this is organic no-till edamame, and he didn't roll the cover crop at all. He just planted into some standing rye. And then this had no weed control until this point, and then you can see it's, you can still see the standing rye, you can see quite a few cockleburs, and there's after we mowed one row, and there's after we mowed the whole field. And so he was pretty happy with that. Then we had another, we have a lot of Amish organic growers too, and we had our first Amish attempt at organic no-till, and these guys went out and got a horse-drawn crimper, and so, and he planted his cover crop, and he planted it way too late in the year, and he asked me to come out and in the spring and early spring and said, what should I do? And I said, oh my gosh, there's weeds everywhere here. But he didn't really have the ability to mow it and work it in. And I said, well, I guess you could give it a try. So we gave it a try, and this is after we mowed it, but it was just a big weedy mess. And he did have good cover, he did have fairly good cover crops, but he just had too many weeds. So because I felt bad that I had told him to try it, I made all my graduate students and myself go out there with hand-pushed lawnmowers, and we mowed this guy's field. And it did salvage his crop. We weren't allowed to take a tractor out there because it was an Amish field. So, and then that's the engineer that's working on it, Gabriel Abdullahi, who is from Ghana. And so he's our ag engineer on our project and is learning that being an Amish man is even more harder than being an African in agriculture. So, any questions?